So I'm looking at this scripture, and the enemy's saying, well, they don't need to hear that. They know that. And, they, you know, and I go on and on. And all it's a beautiful time when the Lord confirms. You know, how many did this speak to this morning that he knows right where you are? You feel like you might have just went off a little ways, maybe a long ways. Let me tell you something. He never leaves you. He said, I'll never leave, forsake you. It's you, the one that gets walking away. You go astray. But his hand is always out. His hand is stretched forth, always, to reach out to you. He's right with you. The children can go now if you want to. The older children and the smaller children. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want to look in the Psalms today. Psalm 50 is where I want to start. I always start my day with a psalm. Maybe two, maybe three. But I always start with a psalm. I ask the Lord, what psalm do you want me to read today? Because the psalms are very they're very encouraging, and yet they have warnings. But whenever God warns you, all he's doing is just saying, come to me. He never wants to beat you up. Jesus is not here to whip us. He took the whipping. I don't know if you grew up in a time when you had to go to the woodshed and they had a stick and they whacked you many times. I grew up in that. Of course, I knew when I gooped up, I was going to get whacked. But sometimes it was more fun to do what you were doing than worry about the whacking later. But Jesus took the whacking. He's not going to take us to the woodshed. That isn't his purpose. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, look at Psalm 50 and start with the start of it. The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof. Now, he's talking about the sun in the morning, you know, and the sun has to rise or it ain't going to be there in the morning. And these are the words of the Holy Spirit was speaking to me this morning. You know, there's a scripture that says, as long as that sun comes up every day, you can count on God. You can count on His promises. They're good every day. And if you have trouble and you just wait till morning and the sun comes up, says, I got a new day. Yesterday's gone. You screwed up yesterday. Bury it. You know, I got to tell you what, some of you are new here. I tell them this story about the old tomcat that dies and you bury him and you have a nice tearful funeral. Well, you don't go out the next day, dig him up, see how he's doing, do you? Or the second day or the third day? You leave him in the ground, don't you? Okay, why do you keep remembering things in the past that has harmed you? The devil wants to keep stirring up and dig up the old tomcat until the hair is slipping. He stinketh. You know, if you were caught in Israel, if I was caught in the act of murder, and I murdered this man, they would take this man and tie him to my back, and I'd have to drag him until he rotted through and I died. Does that tell you anything about the past? You can remember the good times, and you remember the other stuff, but don't let it affect your life. It's over. It's gone. You can't relive it. I know, if you don't get anything else today, and the devil will come to you with different things that you did, how you messed up, maybe yesterday, maybe before you got to church, but it's behind you. You reach out to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. You know the song, help me, Lord, help me now, need help, help me. Well, anyhow, he's always there. He's there, always. And let me tell you something else. Jesus loves me, this I know, for my Bible tells me so. He just flat loves you. He came and he took the stripes and he died. He did all that for you, every one of you. And the devil say, well, you're just not worthy. You're not good enough. Who is? We got somebody good enough in here. Meet me up here first thing. I'll pray for you. See, it's not by works. We're all good enough. See, it's by what he did. We all qualify. See, it's not you. It's what he did for you. He did the tough part. Hallelujah. You know, there's an ad on about new, some kind of micro soft something or I don't know. I'm not into that much, but it shows these buffaloes walking along, you know, and they're all in a line. And finally the one stops and they run into each other and says, you know, maybe you need some new scenery. See, you just keep following that dead path. Get off of it. Get some new scenery.
Praise the Lord.
God is very graphic too. Okay, verse 2. Out of Zion, the perfection of the beauty, God has shined. Look at there. He's shining on us. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be a very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Now, what are we going to have to sacrifice? He's going to tell you. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for the sacrifices, for the burnt offerings to have been continued before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. See, what's he talking about an offering now that he wants? An offering of thanksgiving. See, they had to sacrifice animals continuously. He said, I would rather have you in thanksgiving than I would all these sacrifices. Even though it was an ordinance that God gave them, he wants us to reach out to him. And see, we've been bought with a price. Our life is not our own. We have come as a human sacrifice. So cry out in thanksgiving. Why do we sing? Praise ye the Lord. His mercy endures forever and ever. Because he desires praise. See, he made us in his image. He made us in love. He made us in his likeness. And he wants us to reach out to him. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Look at 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. There's another place that says that many are the troubles of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He is a deliverer. He delivers. When you get in trouble, you know, a lot of times we don't cry uncle until we get in trouble. Oh, God. You know, everything's going pretty good until it gets hard sledding. And then, oh, God, where are you at? Well, he's been there all along. And he's wondering why he plumb clear out the end of that limb and it's just about to break. He didn't send you out there. You got out there. But he's there to help you get back, help you get down, help you receive what he has for you, salvation, blessings. Let's jump down to verse 23, because I got some other scripture. Whoso offers praise glorifies me, and to him that orders his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. You see that word salvation there? Many times in Psalms it means Yeshua, which is Jesus. And here it means liberty, deliverance, prosperity, safety, salvation, and his place of where he is safe. That's what that word salvation means there. He means he wants to gather us in. Gather us unto him. What a beautiful thing. Now I want to go to Psalm 113. And it's a shorter psalm. The other one you should read in your spare time because it's all good. I don't want to pick and choose, but I haven't got time to read the whole Bible today, so we're just going to take what the Lord has shown me. Okay, Psalm 113. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. See, they've got a song. And here we're back to what? The rising of the sun. And so when Guy got up and said, I wasn't coming, I wasn't going to sing, now I got a song to sing, and he starts singing about the sun. You know, and I already had my Bible marked, and the enemy's always saying, well, they don't want to hear that. And that's when I know I'm on a roll. I know that I know. Yes. Yeah. Get rid of them. Praise the Lord. Okay. For the Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. Who's likened to the Lord our God who dwells on high? Who humbles himself to become the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He became a man and came down here and walked among us. And when he was crucified and died, you can't kill God, but Jesus, the man, had to die for you and me. And he received all that pain. He felt every stripe. 39 stripes. There's 39 categories for diseases. All the way from AIDS to whooping cough will fit into one category or the other. 39 of them. That didn't come from the Bible. It came from medical science. They have 39 categories. Now, do you suppose God knew that was going to happen? I think so. He knows everything. Okay, now look at 7. He raised up the poor of the dust, out of the dust, and lift the needy out of the dunghill. Any of you ever had a dunghill experience?
Yeah.
See, I remember Peggy was up here. She was saying one day, he picked me right out of my nowhere, you know. And she wasn't aware that these scriptures was in there. In Isaiah, again, it says, I'll take you from the dunghill and make you a prince. See, we become kings and priests unto our God when we're born of the Spirit. It's a spiritual thing. And here it's saying, you'll take us from the dunghill and set us on high. And how can you beat that? Wow. I just love it. I love him so much. You know, speaking of dunghills, I was back in Iowa tearing down a barn, one of those big barns you see. And I was clear up on the side of it with a power saw. And I was cutting this joint. Well, I got the right joint, and the barn was supposed to fall in. It didn't fall in. It fell on me. This whole barn is coming. I'm on a ladder 20 feet up, and here it comes. That was before I was saved. But the Lord threw me out in an old dunghill. It wasn't soft anymore, like gooey, but it was soft. And I never bent a finger. I wasn't hurt at all. Isn't that something? I should have died right there. I mean, that whole thing, that's a big barn. He rash, here it come, you know. And the next thing I knew, I was laying out there wondering, wow, what happened? He lifted me from the barn and put me out where it was soft. Now look at verse 9. This is very good. He makes the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. You know, we was reading that if a woman has never had a child and she brings a child into the kingdom, she is not barren anymore. And God has given us the gift to have children, but in his kingdom, the greater gift is to bring one more to Jesus. See, we can all do that. We can all have children. You see what I'm saying? Maybe you don't want to have kids anymore. I know Sandra and I, we're like Abraham and Sarah. There ain't no way. But see, we're bearing children all the time. Every time we get the chance to somebody get saved, it's another child. And then they'll go and bear fruit. That's how this kingdom is built. And keep in mind, it's one at a time. You know, you see some guy on TV and they got millions listening to him, and you say, well, how can I ever do something like that? You can't. You weren't called to. But you can get one. Every one of us can get one. Now, then concentrate on the one, and then you get two. And then pretty soon you get four. You begin someplace. It might be a neighbor. It might be one of your relatives, although they're very hard to convince. But doesn't mean you can't. You can plant seed. One plant seed, somebody waters, and God gives the increase. See, we all have that ability to do something. It's like the four lepers that were sitting, and the city was starving. And they're going to die if they sit there. And if they go in the city, they're going to starve in there. They might as well walk into the enemy's camp and see if, you know, maybe get some food before they die. Do something. And so these four lepers is walking in Assyria, a great Syrian army. God makes their footsteps sound like a great army from the Egyptians. He says, oh God, they've hired all these guys, they're going to kill us. And so they all ran. They left everything they had. They left. Just left it land. And these old beggars went and they grabbed this and grabbed that and hid this and hid that. And they said, might as well tell the city there's more than we can eat. So they go back in and everybody rushes out and there was prosperity. And the day before, they was selling dove's dung for a huge price. Now, I don't know what they were doing with it, but I mean, I'm saying that. It's in the Bible. It's very graphic. But that's how desperate they were. Must be some food value somehow. I don't know. But see, God had a better plan. And the guy that said it wouldn't happen, they trampled him at the gate and he died. Why? Is that his doubt and unbelief killed him. He perished. He says it won't happen. And the prophet says it'll happen. You know, we hear prophecies all the time and we need to be careful of them. I love prophecies and they're good, but check them out. Check the Bible. Check with other people. Check and see what's going on. A lot of what prophecy is God speaking through people. And it can be yesterday, it can be now, it can be tomorrow. But when Isaiah said, by his stripes we were healed, it took 500 years before that was completely filled. So don't get a tape for some prophet and sit every day and listen to it and think that's going to get you over the hump. It's like eating deer tracks. You know, you're not going to have any venison in the skillet until you actually get him down, right, and carve him up. So you can't eat the deer tracks. He's close by, and maybe you can even smell him, but not there. It's not real until you get it complete. Amen? And again, I don't run out here saying I'm putting prophecy down. I'm not. There is prophets in the land. But there's also other prophets in the land. So you need to judge and pick and choose. It says two or three prophets prophesy, and then two or three judge. And a lot of prophets don't like judge. Hello? They like to talk a lot, but they don't want you correcting them. But the Bible clearly says that we need to be judged by what we're saying. And so, if somebody misses it a little bit, every time people prophesy, there's going to be some of them in it. I've done it. And I thank God he doesn't hold me responsible. But, you know, a word will come like, well, brother, you should move to Alaska. Sell everything you got and go up there. Thus saith the Lord. Listen, somebody tell me that. I want an Ethiopian to beat on my door at midnight with a note from God before I'm going to do that. I want to know. I don't get just going to listen to somebody. It's by two or three witnesses. And the more severe the thing is they're saying, make sure. Don't ever go off on your own doing something just because somebody said. If he prophesies to me, and the two of us agree on it, we only got one witness. You say, wait, there's two of you. No, there's one prophet. Just because you like it, don't say that's it. That's not two witnesses. And the Bible says two or three witnesses. So I need her to come along, and it doesn't know, hasn't heard a thing about it, and she starts piping off the same thing that he said. Well, now I'm getting two witnesses. And if it's severe or something that's really going to take a lot of things to do, then I need another brother to come that doesn't know anything about these two and say something to me. Then I'm beginning to build a foundation that's real. Otherwise, you can get hurt. I know a lot of people that have got hurt. They've sold stuff and gone places. We had a guy one time who was going to go to Israel and do a whole bunch of stuff. He was wanting to come home in 3 days. Why? God didn't send him over there. He was miserable. Somebody had prophesied to him, go to Israel. Well, we're all going someday. But maybe not today. Amen? So, just check it out. Right. Amen. Amen. There's nothing wrong with going over there. I want to go to one last place. Isaiah chapter 45. In verse 5, 45:5. And I just want to read a little bit more. And then I've got a... lady here that's seen a vision of a cross laying down in the sky, and then the Lord gave her a word about it, and we didn't have time last week. I wanted to read that. So let's look at 45:5. Everybody find Isaiah. I am the Lord, and there's none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Anybody says that he found us, we didn't find him? That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let the righteous spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to him that strives with his maker. Let the bastard strive with the bastards of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashions it, Why makest thou, or thy work, who has no hands? Woe unto him that says to his father, Why beget thou me, or the woman? Why hast thou brought me forth? Okay? Paul talks about God is the potter and we're the clay. And many times you'll hear people say, Well, I didn't ask to come to the earth. But see, God is in charge of you being here. Every one of you. Every one of you here has a mother. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. And so we were brought here for a purpose. That's what birth is about. There's a purpose. God's purpose. And so I remember God would have me do different things, and I used to say, Why me, Lord? And he finally told me to shut up about that. He talked to me maybe different than he does you. He just said, Shut up. It isn't my place to say, Why me? Poor pitiful bud, I gotta, go over here to this widow's house or whatever, cut her wood. See, he's called you to do something, and he will give you the unction to do it. He'll give you the ability to do it. And you'll feel it in your spirit that you want to do it. It's a God thing. And so we're here because God had a plan to populate the earth. And everyone that's more than the last is another jewel for God. It's another blessing. You don't just have children just because. How would we have got here? Some of us was because. That if I had grown up in the age we're in now, I don't think I'd have survived. I'm almost certain I would have been aborted. I had two older brothers. My mom told me forever that I was unwanted. I grew up with that. See, and I could still be sniveling about that, right? That's why I drink. That's why, that guy died. He's dead. The one that received all the rejection. I'm alive. I got a new life in Jesus. And he loves me. And that takes care of all of that junk. It says, when your father and your mother forsake you, the Lord says, Here am I. That I'm here, and I'll always be here. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I want to jump down to verse 22, and I'll finish up. But you see, when he was singing that song about the sun and the light and all that, I was just going, Hallelujah. It was a confirmation to me. 22, Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say in the Lord, I have righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and not all their incense against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and shall glory. We are the seed of Israel, and we shall glory in the Lord. Lord, I just thank you today for this word. I thank you for the power. Lord, when we read the word salvation, it means saved, healed, delivered, and made whole. Lord, you're the potter and we're the clay, and that's exactly what you're doing with us right now. And Lord, everyone that's come here is in a divine appointment. The Lord's speaking to your hearts today that God is love. It says if a man hates his brother, then he doesn't abide in God. And Lord, let the love and the peace of Jesus come over us this day and set us free, Lord, from judging one another. We claim every member of our family right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I don't care what they're doing. I'm going to speak what I want to see them doing. I see them serving the Lord. I see him away from alcohol and drugs. I see him coming to my house and beating on my door and dragging me out to go get somebody more saved, Lord. I see him turned on and fired up for God. Lord, I'm going to keep speaking that until I see it. I'm going to call that which isn't as though it were. I'm going to see it happen in Jesus' name. We're all going to see it happen. We're going to quit whining and complaining about them. We're going to start speaking what we want instead of what we got. Lord, all of us here was something else before Jesus found us. And we don't keep talking about our old person. We're new. All things have become new. We're a new creation. And I thank you, Lord, for that. The blood of Jesus washes over us this day. And Lord, people today are going to be touched and healed. I thank you, Lord. You showed up. You're here. And you'll never leave or forsake us. And in Jesus' name, we give you all the praise. And all God's children said, amen. Juanita, do you want to come up? And the 14th, we're going to have John and Sandy Halverson. They're Prayer Walk America. They walk clear across the United States. Clear across. Every step of the way. And they walked from the north even to the south before they did that, which would be a cross. And John is going to be here on the 14th, is it? On a Sunday morning. It's going to be a real blessing. Next Sunday. He's been all over the country, through all these towns, and met all these people, and been all these churches, and he'll have a word for you. The last time he was here, I cried. I was up here in front, and I could not keep from crying. I wept and cried. It wasn't a miserable thing. It was just, something was coming out of me. I couldn't help myself. And if you tell me, he'll touch your heart. He was anointed like nobody I've ever seen. I've been around some big hitters, and I never had anybody that the Spirit got on me like it did. And what was on me was getting people saved. That's what was making me cry and weep, that there wasn't more people saved. See, that's an evangelist's heart that gets on you. You need to reach out and get somebody saved. And then Kevin's aunt, Estine Daniels, is coming from North Carolina. And we're going to have a, starting the 15th then, on Monday, go clear through the 21st. We're going to be open every night. We're going to have service every night, every night, every night. We'll have them from 7 to 9. So if you want healed, delivered, blessed, bring a friend. Bring a heathen. Praise the Lord. Yes? Oh, men's meeting is this Saturday night, this coming one. John will be here, probably. Guess I didn't miss anything else. There you go.
First of all, I want to say that Guy's message really, really blessed me in that song. Because he talked about the sun, but he also talked about the door. And a door to me, it can also be a gate. So when I get into reading this, I want you to keep that in mind. I think there was more than one reason God had to sing that song. On 10/25, my son-in-law, Ron, who's sitting with us today, his five-year-old son, our daughter, Annie, who's in the children's church, and myself were driving home. We'd gone up through Hopewell and connected back, and we were going up towards McMinnville. And I said, look, I was stunned. I looked out the windshield, and in a clear blue sky, here is a cross, and it's laying down on its back. And it's like it's made of a jet stream because you can almost see the grain in the wood, but it is very clear. The ends are very clear cut. It wasn't just fragmented. And the cross was laying so that the long part of the cross was back towards Salem. And then the short cross with the beam across was like over McMinnville area. And up where Jesus' head might have laid was the only place that there was any kind of blurriness. And it was just slightly fuzzy in that area. But it was very, very clear. The thing that stunned me about this was, number one, it was laying down. And I'd never seen a cross laying down. Every cross I'd ever seen had been standing up. And so I'm going, wow. And it was huge. It was like the pieces were huge planks, and it was long, maybe like a block, it was huge. And we're just going, wow, what is that? Little Quillen's in the back seat jumping down, and he goes, it's Jesus, Daddy, it's Jesus, look, Daddy, it's Jesus, you see me, that's Jesus. And I'm going, no, it's a cross. No, it's Jesus. I'm going, okay. And And we're just so stunned, and we keep watching it, and I'm thinking, this is up pretty high in the air, and you know how those jet air up, I mean, that the air up there, it, the currents are really strong, and you'll even watch clouds, and in like 2 or 3 minutes, it's just gone if you get that long. We followed this all the way to McMinnville. Now, I'm thinking it must have been a good 15-plus minutes, and it stayed intact completely. It didn't even fray on the edges. When we got into McMinnville, into where the buildings were, I couldn't see it any longer, but then we went on down and we turned into our street. And as we turned into our street, I could see where the crossbeams were just little pieces now. They had just dissipated as we had gone, but the cross pieces were still there. And I was just so stunned about this. I called somebody and I said, what does this mean? I don't have an idea what's going on, but I know it must be really, really important. And they said, well, I think it's a covering. I think that's what you're seeing. And I'm thinking, okay. But I just didn't understand. I said, I don't quite get it. And so I said, okay, I just went to bed. The next morning, you know how you lay in bed and you're just kind of like, I don't want to get up. I'm kind of asleep and I'm kind of awake. And all of a sudden, this stuff starts running through my mind, just totally through my mind. I jump up. I knew I could never type it fast enough, so I got a tape recorder. And this is what the Lord gave me. A little preface to this is that was a Sunday, and that same Sunday, Mike Harris was up here, and he was explaining how we can't do anything without the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he tried to pick up Bud in a chair by himself, and he couldn't do that. And it wasn't until he got three other men, which represented the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that each of them, on an edge of the chair, they could pick him up easily, and nobody was strained. And so this kind of goes back to that. This is called the cross that's been laid down for you and for me. I saw a cross in the sky laying flat on its back, and I marveled and wondered, why is that? I've never seen a cross laying on its back. I knew this must be a very important thing, and I said, Lord, I don't understand what this cross means. I called a friend, and I was told it was a covering, and I said, oh, that's glory. Then I prayed, and I said, Lord, would you show me just what a kind of a covering that you mean? And he said, weren't you listening when I told Mike to speak? I thought I wrapped it up all nice and neat. When you are out testifying and using my name, tell them of the cross I put in the sky today. Because my cross doesn't stand straight, like they say. It lays on its back as a gateway. When they crucified me, they laid that cross down. They hammered and they pounded, then dropped it in the ground. They pulled me up straight, for my torment all could see. But my Father meant my death for your salvation and glory. He shut up the light he brought on the dark. He sent the lightning and put fear in their hearts. In the temple he rent the veil in two, a testament to both the Gentile and Jew. The fulfillment of the word was coming true. On this Passover I was the Holy Lamb. When they took me from the cross, they took me as a man. They wrapped me carefully, then they put me in a grave. But the headpiece was still whole when I rose in 3 days. I tell you true, this is a sign of the times. The cross does not stand as a symbol of dying. Something had happened no one could explain. Even my disciples had trembled and turned away. At the greatest of Passovers, I laid down my cross to stay. I gave my life, no one took it away. I am the sacrificial lamb they partook of that day. That first cross no more can stand. No longer am I a fleshly man, but the gateway to the great I am. Two men would drag the cross that day. It will take more if you carry my cross today. For one man cannot carry it all alone. The Father in his wisdom designed it so. To carry my cross takes more than one man can be. It takes the power of you plus three. So remember the four ends the Father put on that tree. As I showed Mike and I told him to speak, to move those mountains, here's what you need. You, the Father, the Holy Spirit, and me. When you tell my story, tell it through. The standing cross is not the tribute. Because it was not standing straight and true when I drug it down the streets, battered and bruised. It was not standing when I first went through the town. And I did not rise from a cross standing in the ground. For you I tasted death in that final hour, that you might also have my resurrection power. So spread the good news of my cross around. If you follow me, you too must lay yourself down. Then the Father will open that very precious door, and you will rise in glory evermore. That where we are, there you shall also be, walking with the power of three. You will walk in fullness, wisdom, and glory covering thee with the Father, the Spirit, and me.
Makes a pretty good team, doesn't it? You don't have to do it yourself. He never expected you. He showed me a long time ago. If he couldn't even pack it to Calvary, he doesn't expect you to pack yours all the way. He might take one step in the morning and say, it's too heavy, Lord, and you're going to lean it over on him. That's the way he is. He come to help us. You know, you're trying to do it on your own. Stop. Let him help you. Let him come alongside. He had to have it, and he knows that you need it too. We're going to have communion today. And somebody got a praise report, something that God has just done. I don't want your life history. Okay? Back there.
Good morning. This is Sharon. You haven't seen a lot of my husband, Ray, because he works at Mitsubishi now. And he gets mocked, and not a lot of people know Jesus there. So he had a small New Testament, and he started writing his favorite scriptures in the back of it, and he carried it in his pocket every night. And I said, who's that for, Ray? And he said, this person that's going to get this New Testament is going to become a child of God, and all I know is it's going to be somebody at Mitsubishi. Well, he packed that thing around and kept writing in it for a month. Well, he went out on a break recently, and there was a man sitting out at a lunch table weeping with the Statesman's Journal in his hand. And it was a story about a man that had just been killed. I think he was a drug dealer or something, but he'd been killed. And the guy was sitting on the table, weeping, saying, my gosh, I went to school with this guy. And Ray said, was he saved? And the guy said, it doesn't look like it. And he just cried. Well, Ray had tried to testify Christ to him a couple months before the guy, like most of the people out there, did want a thing to do with Jesus. The next day, Ray went in and gave him the New Testament. The next time Ray saw him, he was crying again, and he said, I've accepted Jesus, Ray. I've accepted Jesus. Thank you for all the hours you put into writing in that New Testament, Ray. That meant so much to me. So one more came in out there at Mitsubishi.
Praise the Lord. One at a time. Hallelujah. Anybody else got something you... Chart one you'd like to tell about what God's doing? Yes.
You know, last week we had a new telephone booth go on Highway Avenue, and we've got a lot of prayer warriors there and a lot of people just intensely praying against prostitution and drug addiction and dealing. And I know God's put us there for purpose and a plan. And we saw a lot of activity in that phone booth. And I went over and witnessed to two young men that were there. And the Lord spoke to me and said, now take Spanish Bibles and put them in the phone booth and pray over them and ask for their salvation. And you know, we haven't been seeing any activity on that phone booth. And that's a miracle. And I praise God because we have to take the land. And we have to claim it. And when we see sin come in, we have to get on our knees and pray. Because God is awaiting us to pray those prayers that he can intercede to the Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I'm asked many times, there's churches you'll go to, and if you're not a member, you can't take communion. And the thought always comes back to me, you know, what would Jesus do? The multitudes that came to him, they didn't all understand who he was. They didn't understand what he was up to. They didn't understand he was opening blinded eyes. And the lame was walking. They understood that. And so I see as people come in, if Jesus was up here and he's saying, come and sup with me, nobody would be missing.
Amen.
You know, we're not into legalism. We're into Jesus.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, when people receive the Holy Spirit, they don't know what they're asking for. You can't get it till you got it. They don't get the got it until they get it. And so none of them knows what they're doing until it comes. See, and the devil tries to keep you reasoning with it. You can't reason with God. I mean, as far as how big he is, but he said, come reason with me. You know, let us reason together. He'll help you. That's why he gave us his mind. So we take this little cracker. We think about the body was talking about today. That poem that she read, the body was bruised and beaten for you and me, that laid his life down so that we might find the glory of the Lord and salvation and joy. Let's eat. Father, I thank you that as often we do this, remember what Jesus did for us. We receive it, Lord. Lord, you took the cup after you said this body is given for you. And you blessed it. Lord, I ask this to be blessed today. This isn't real blood, but there was real blood shed for you and me. All of us, if Jesus had not shed his blood, there is no remission of sins. But he gave it all. And let us drink today and think about the healing power that was given us by the stripes of Jesus, the strength. Lord, everyone that partook of this in remembrance of Jesus, that the Spirit of the Lord just fill them up, Lord. Your healing power, the knowledge of healing, the knowledge of salvation, the knowledge of being delivered from spirits, the knowledge of being made whole. The blood has life, Lord. Today, as we've drank this, Jesus supernaturally gave everyone that drank life. You said you come to give life and give it in abundance. We'll just give you the praise for that. And all God's children said, amen. Anybody else got something you want to share? Something that I want to share with you is everybody needs a blessing. And you're saying, what does that mean? You need somebody to pray for you before you leave here today. Everybody needs a blessing. Don't run out of here. But, you know, we used to have a guy with a board in the back there and beat you until you spoke in tongues. But, we're not doing that anymore. But not really. But just get a hold of somebody. Come up front. There's people up here to pray for you. And just get a blessing. The church I used to go to for years, if you went up front for prayer, they were all thinking, what kind of a Simon Legree is this guy? He must have really done a rotten thing Saturday night because he's up there getting prayer. This isn't what it's about, folks. In fact, isn't that church I went up for prayer and I better stayed in my seat because there wasn't anything up there. An empty hand on an empty head ain't going to get you much. See, if you want and need something, you need to come to the Lord. And I'm not the Lord, and whoever's up here to pray for you is not the Lord, but the Spirit of the Lord is here. And it says that we all need encouraged. And if you don't want to come up front, there'll be somebody wandering around, have them pray for you back there. But get a blessing before you leave. You don't have to. I mean, it's just free. You know, well, don't miss something free. Everybody's looking for something free. I'm telling you, it's free. Father, again, I just come to you in the powerful name of Jesus. Lord, that as we partake of Jesus, the bread of life today, that, Lord, will never be the same. That there's an excitement in the air about what you're doing. There's an encouragement that's coming into our soul. Lord, give everyone holy boldness that they can, no matter what's going on in their life, if they know Jesus, they can tell somebody else about Jesus. Lord, if we all sit down and figure out how good we are, we're not going to get much witnessing done. But if we sit down and figure out how good Jesus is, then we can do a whole lot of witnessing. Because he's good, and he's always good, and he never changes. So, Lord, let us get our minds off of us and more on Jesus, and by and by, we'll be a lot stronger. It's not by works, lest any man should boast, Paul said. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. And, Lord, I just give you the praise.